morning, good morning, good morning, TGIF. It is a getaway Friday morning, March the 10th, 2017, 10:14 a.m. coming up on 10:15 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, and you are tuned into the Now program, a special edition of the Now program over the next 2 hours right here on WWGH Radio. And the first hour, this hour, we are going to spend some time talking about health care. Now, our state representative, Jim Jordan, for this area has been on many shows lately discussing the health care plan that President Trump laid out or President Ryan laid out, depending on who you believe, and that he is possibly not happy with that plan, and will he vote for that plan? And people are upset in this area because they want to know if the Medicare is going to be there to help the people who are drug addicted to get off the drugs, if the funds are going to be there, and is Obamacare going to get repealed if they all can't agree on a plan? Are there going to be enough votes in the Congress? Holy mackerel, it is a conundrum. But we're going to have Representative Jim Jordan live at 10:30 this morning here on WWGH Radio. Now, to say all that to say this, just to be fair, because Jim Jordan is a Republican, we had Ohio Senator Sherrod Brown on this program on Tuesday discussing the very same thing. So I thought before we brought the representative on, it's about a 10-minute interview with Senator Sherrod Brown. Let's go back to Tuesday, listen to Senator Brown's thoughts, then we'll come back here at 10:30, and hear what Representative Jordan has to say. Here is Senator Sherrod Brown from this program on Tuesday. And hey, Scott Spears back with you here, 27 minutes past the hour. And as all of you know, the Republicans yesterday, some GOP lawmakers, came up with something called the American Health Care Act. And President Trump has praised this act. But some people are not very happy with it. So one person we wanted to check into who is very interested in the health care of Ohioans is a good friend of this show. We're always happy when he stops by via telephone, Senator Sherrod Brown. Senator Brown, how are you?
Good. Thanks. Thanks for having me back.
Hey, thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thank you for making time.
My daughter was in your town on Saturday speaking to the Franklin Delano Roosevelt, FDR breakfast, and speaking on my behalf there, which was cool. And my mother had spoken there about 10 years earlier. My mother, who died about 8 years ago, she'd spoken there 10 years earlier, and she started her speech by saying, "I voted for Franklin Roosevelt." So my daughter obviously couldn't say that, but anyway.
A little
local angle there.
Well, no, I appreciate that, and I hopefully someday we'll be able to have you in studio, and that'll be a fun day.
Of course, we can do that. Sure.
Senator Brown, health care is on everybody's mind today. What do you make of the American Health Care Act? Some Republicans not very happy, including this district's Jim Jordan.
Well, Jim Jordan wants to go, it may work in some neighborhoods in Marion, but it doesn't work for the country. But forget about. Start with this, Scott, that a whole bunch of politicians in this town very happily are willing to take government-funded health insurance, and then they come up with this proposal to strip government-funded health insurance and consumer protections and Medicare protections. They're willing to strip it away from the public, and it's just morally reprehensible. I mean, they've got this plan which gives major tax cuts to the wealthy, takes away health insurance for a number of people, scales back Medicare benefits, and they call that reform. And it's just a sellout. And again, these are people that have government insurance themselves and don't want to give that up, but they don't really seem to care so much about the public. And it's exactly the opposite of what people campaigned for last fall.
Now, we know that we know how Jim Jordan feels. We know how Rand Paul feels. Do you think there's any way that the Republicans can get a majority to pass this particular plan?
Well, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I appreciate Senator Portman and three other Republican senators that stood up and stood with Governor Kasich and me to say, no, we're not going to take away Medicaid for hundreds of thousands of Ohioans. Keep in mind, let me give you one figure that's just remarkable. 200,000 Ohioans, and I mean, this tells you how serious this problem is. 200,000 Ohioans today are being treated for opioid addiction who have insurance because of the Affordable Care Act. 200,000 people in Ohio today are being treated in the midst of their opioid addiction treatment who are able to be treated with good health insurance because of the Affordable Care Act. And so this crowd in the House of Representatives, again, all politicians that get insurance paid by the government, they're going to strip away that. And what happens to those 200,000 people? Some of them more likely to overdose. Some of them, their addiction will get worse. Some of them will turn their families upside down with the problems of an addicted family member. I mean, just leaving. President likes to talk about the word disaster. That is, and catastrophe. Those are the words here. To do that to so many Ohioans is just morally repulsive, frankly.
President Trump's quote on the new health care bill is, "Our wonderful new health care bill is out for review and negotiation." What do you make of that? He calls it a wonderful bill.
Well, the president said the other day that he said, "Who knew that the healthcare system was so complicated?" And I don't take personal attack. I don't personally attack politicians. I only say that they're wrong on certain things, like the hypocrisy of getting health insurance from the government, taking it from others. President Trump has never probably sat on hold for 20 minutes with an insurance company, or never had to fill out some of these bizarre forms that private insurance companies have. So I'll just leave it at that this system is way more complicated than apparently he knew about. But I'll put all that aside. What this proposal does, is written by House Republicans, is it takes away insurance from a whole lot of people. And the people that wrote the plan all have good insurance. Their staffs have good insurance in Washington. They have good insurance funded by taxpayers. But for whatever reason, they don't think that middle income, and these are most of the people that lose their insurance under this plan, are people who are working full-time but aren't lucky enough to have insurance. Congressional staff has insurance. They work full-time. Most of them work hard. They don't work any harder, though, than somebody making $8 an hour and cobbling together two or three jobs to pay their bills, but don't have insurance. And I mean, is there no moral outrage about this? Do they have nobody that wrote this bill that actually, do they think about what Pope Francis said when he said you should go, that he exhorted his parish priests and maybe others to go out and smell like the flock, find out what people's lives are like, don't just read statistics? And I don't think they're talking to people that are in treatment for opioid and have insurance because of this health care law.
Here's a $10 million question that I keep getting from people here in Marion, is if they can't come together on a plan, because this doesn't seem to be the plan they're going to come together on to pass, will they still repeal Obamacare if they can't come together to pass a new plan?
I have no idea. I don't know what motivates somebody. When the Republican governor of my state, of our state, in Ohio, says you can't take away this insurance, you can't repeal Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act, without replacing it with somehow to insure that many people, you shouldn't do it. When you still have members of Congress who have government insurance voting to do that, I have no idea what they're thinking. You take an oath to serve the state, not to hurt a bunch of people in the state, and I don't even pretend to understand how they think about this.
Two quick questions, Senator, before we let you go. Wiretaps, President Obama mentioned, or President Trump mentioned wiretaps with President Obama, hasn't shown the proof. What'd you make of that comment?
I just think it's, when I hear the FBI, when I hear Republicans and Democrats alike who know this kind of thing, say, comment that the president just made this up, I don't even know what to say. I mean, either the president totally made it up, President Trump, or President Obama did it because he had a court order to do it because it was so serious. I don't believe any of this. I just think that I don't know why the president does things like that. I suppose he's trying to take attention away from all the Russia stuff, because it's pretty clear that, I mean, what I wish the president would do is this. I wish he'd simply say, I know 55% of the public voted against me. I accept that. All presidents do that over time. They say at the beginning, I know half the country didn't support me, but I'm their president too. And then I wish he would disclose everything about Russia, put that behind us, and then begin to work to rebuild America's infrastructure and renegotiate our trade agreements and create jobs. We can get all this other stuff off the table, but when you keep raising all these weird issues like wiretaps from the former president coming out of nowhere. Nobody in his staff expected him to say stuff like that. Then we can't concentrate on building roads and fixing bridges and fixing health care and fixing our schools and renegotiating trade agreements and creating jobs. I mean, that's his job. That's why he won to Cops. But all these tweets and all this these accusations and labeling, I mean, using these Soviet terms like enemy of the people. I mean, I grew up during the Cold War. I was, you know, I remember the 60s and especially the 70s and that we were, you know, in a Cold War of the Soviet Union. Now the President of the United States likes the Soviet leader, Russian leader, who was a Soviet agent, KGB agent, and uses 100-year-old Soviet terms and talking about enemy people. I mean, that just doesn't serve us. We need to get back to doing, working on job creation, working on health care, working to build our cities and towns and communities.
And that leads us into our final question. It can just be yes, no, if you want it to be. Your former colleague, Senator Sessions, now Attorney General Sessions, last week there was some ambiguity whether he lied under oath or not. He has recused himself in anything with the Donald Trump campaign. Should he resign for what he did?
Yes, he should. The Attorney General of the United States should not lie about something should not lie, period, under oath or otherwise. And more importantly, the standard to lie when he lies to the American people about dealings with Russia, when these situations are so serious, is reason enough for him to resign. I like him personally. I know him pretty well. When I voted against him, I made it a point to go tell him face to face on the Senate floor before I announced it to the media or to the public. But so it's nothing personal. I just think he should resign.
So you believe he knowingly lied?
I believe he did.
Okay. Senator Sherrod Brown, it's always a pleasure. I'm sorry we went over a couple of minutes. Thank you, Senator.
Okay. Thanks, Scott. See you.
Bye-bye. Okay, and we continue on here on WWGH Radio, and a man you have seen on television quite a bit lately in radio is our own state representative, Jim Jordan. We thank him for making the time to join us this morning. Representative Jordan, how are you?
I'm doing fine. Good to be with you.
Yeah, the talk of the week, obviously, is health care, and I want to get right into this because I know we're on limited time here, but Speaker Paul Ryan yesterday called the American Health Care Act a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity and the best and only chance to change Obamacare. How do you feel about those comments? As we pretty well know, you are not very happy with the bill as it is.
Look, we got to get rid of Obamacare, so we need to fully repeal it. This legislation doesn't accomplish that. It repeals it, but it keeps many of the Obamacare taxes in for an extra year and keeps another tax in the out year. It says it repeals it, but it takes the Medicaid expansion and extends that for several more years. So it's not a full repeal. That's why I introduced the same bill that we voted on a year ago, clean repeal. We introduced that. And this idea that you got to take it or leave it, I mean, come on. That's not how the legislative process works. I mean, there are 435 members. We each represent 750,000 people. I don't sit on the Energy and Commerce Committee or the Ways and Means Committee. Those two committees handle legislation that was only introduced 72 hours ago. No, they allowed no amendment to be offered to the bill, so we're just supposed to take it or leave it. How is that fair to the 750,000 people I get the privilege of serving in the United States Congress if I can't amend it and change it and make it in such a way that it's consistent with what the voters sent us here to do?
So. That being said,
that's the problem with this so-called binary choice that the speaker's put forward. It just doesn't work that way.
And that being said, this is your party. Would you vote for this bill in the condition it's in?
Needs a change. I mean, we've been very clear about that. Needs a change. There's all kinds of conservatives. There's four conservative senators said they won't vote for it. There's a number of us in the House Freedom Caucus that said we're not going to support this in its current. A condition because it doesn't accomplish what we told the voters we're going to do. I always tell folks, we make this job way too complicated. Our job is pretty basic. Do what you said you would do. Do what the voters sent you here to do. The voters knew very clearly that I was against Obamacare, that this thing, we needed to repeal it and replace it. So I want to vote for legislation that truly repeals it, and I want to vote for legislation that puts in a replacement model that will actually bring down the cost of insurance so working class, middle class families who I get the privilege of serving can actually afford insurance and not have to go on some government-sponsored health care.
That being said, we know you oppose Obamacare, but if you don't vote for this bill, Obamacare also does not get repealed at that time. It doesn't pass the Congress. Going to have a very tough time in the Senate. Would your bill, do you believe, get the necessary votes to go through Congress?
Did before. I mean, we voted on it 15 months ago, and almost every single Republican voted on it. It went to then-President Obama's desk, and he vetoed it. So why not do that again? Why? This is the part that just drives voters crazy. We're for something at election time. We've already put something on then-President Obama's desk, but, oh, now we can't do that. There's all kinds of reasons why we can't do what we said we would do. I just fundamentally disagree with that. I think we should do what we said we would do, and that's why we're pushing the plan that we're pushing.
President Trump said he was a master deal maker, the art of the deal. You met with him. Has he convinced you?
Well, the president, we're trying to help the president, as I said before, accomplish what we all told the voters we were going to do. And the White House has been very clear. This is a starting point, but let's have real negotiation, real debate, and let's make this bill the product that is consistent with what the American people sent us to Congress to accomplish, and that is full repeal of Obamacare, replace it with those policies that I think in the end are going to bring down the cost of insurance and allow people to, now instead of paying all the $500, $600, $700, $800 a month that some people are having to pay, some families are having to pay, particularly those in the individual market, for insurance, and if they can afford that, they can't afford the $6,000, $7,000 deductible that their policy has. Let's get that under control. I mean, this idea that, you know, you define success as signing people up for Medicaid expansion or signing people up for Obamacare, somehow that's success. I think success is bringing back a marketplace and bringing back insurance that's affordable for the middle-class families that, again, are part of the 4th Congressional District.
Here's something from the district, Representative Jordan. A lot of people are worried about this Medicaid expansion going away. Our own governor is worried about that, Governor Kasich. The reason people are worried about this, it seems, is that a lot of treatment for the drug rehabs, which has become a problem mm-hmm. everywhere, would not be funded.
Yeah. No, look. Our repeal bill that we passed last year, that we put on then-President Obama's desk, we understand you're going to need a transition time. So we have a two-year wind down, if you will, before the Medicaid expansion would end. So that in that 2 years time period, you can begin to bring back a marketplace, and as I've said several times now, bring back insurance that's affordable for families across the country to now access.
But is it believable that somebody who's addicted to drugs, who's lost their job, can afford health care on any level?
Well, there are unique needs. There are high-risk pools that are going to be part of any plan to make sure. And we also have Medicaid, current Medicaid, which is there for the disabled, the extreme poor in our society. And America has always been a place where we want to make sure those individuals are covered and taken care of. But we also have to understand that the current model that's in place under Obamacare has driven up the cost for the vast majority of families, the vast majority of people in the country, has driven up their health insurance costs. We got to be sensitive to that and bring back a marketplace so that those costs come down as well.
The big thing here is that Senator Ryan says this is, when you're quoted as saying, best and only chance to change Obamacare, that signals to me that possibly there is not going to be a way to get your bill passed either, even though it was passed when President Obama was president. If neither side can agree on one plan, what happens? Does Obamacare stay in there? What do you do?
You keep debating, and you keep working. And you figure out how you can get there and actually accomplish something that's consistent with what the American people elected us to accomplish. I mean, that's how the legislative process works. But for the leadership to say, take it or leave it, it's this way or the highway, that's not helpful. So that's not how the founders envisioned a legislative body, the United States Congress, the United States Senate. That's not how they envisioned it working. You don't get some edict from on high and then say, like, okay, now we have to do it. No, it's like, we're going to have a debate here. We're going to have a discussion here. We have real concerns. There's a reason why every major conservative group in the country has come out against this legislation. There's a reason why so many conservative healthcare experts have said, this is not getting the job done. That should tell us something. That should tell us we better have a debate, we better have a discussion, and there better be amendments and changes made to this legislation.
And if there's not, does Obamacare stay? Because it's interesting that...
I think we get there. American, you know, look, there was a great line from Winston Churchill. He said, America is the worst form of government there is, except for all the others. So it's not it's a process where there's debate and discussion, and sometimes it's not easy. In fact, nothing worth ever accomplishing is easy. So let's have that debate and discussion, and let's get to the product that will help American families. I got to run vote. I apologize. It's called votes, and I got to head out.
Okay, can I slip one more question in here? It's just very quick. Would your bill, the one you want, would the people in Congress and the people in the Senate be willing to trade in their health care plans for the one you provide, that it's that good?
Yeah, getting rid of Obamacare.
No, the plans that you guys have, the government plan that all government employees have.
Our model would bring back those things that we think are going to help every single family and help the overall marketplace, allowing interstate shopping, expanded health savings accounts, easier formation of association health plans. We think all those things would help with every single plan out there.
So you would give up your plan for that plan.
I got to run vote here. I'm sorry.
Okay. Thank you. Representative Jim Jordan. And there you go. He had to go run and vote. And Sean Kraft now joins us in studio. What'd you think?
Well, he really didn't. I think he was beating around the bush a lot of the stuff. But this marketplace that he's talking about, I think it's kind of silly.
Well, that's where they want to go. Yeah. The Republicans yesterday came out and said this is the best and only chance to change Obamacare. Senator Ryan said that, Speaker of the House.
I mean, I ain't seeing Obamacare is not, you know, a lot of people can't afford the deductibles or whatever it's called, or the co-pays or whatever, because I'm pretty sure they are pretty high. I'm not on Obamacare, but I'm on my regular plan, and my deductible is pretty high too myself, so... but I can't follow his plan, the marketplace. I mean, I don't understand what the marketplace is all about. I guess I'm a little confused on that.
That it's not going to be federally funded anymore, and that the price will go down because more people will be able to shop around for healthcare. That the marketplace will be create a smaller money.
But then that means the small insurance is price gouge anyway.
Well, the idea is at one point they wanted to open it up over state lines.
Hmm. So you can go anywhere you want?
Yeah. That if another state has it cheaper, you can go there.
Well, I don't know. Maybe that'll work. I don't know. I mean, to me, the healthcare system definitely, you know, just like I said earlier, I think we all need to have the same healthcare as the senators and the president.
I asked him that.
Yeah, you did.
What answer did you get from that?
Honestly, he was tongue twisted. I don't know. He was in a hurry or something. He didn't want to answer that question too well.
Well, you know, it's unfortunate that we don't get him for an extended amount of time. I hope he does come to the studio because they do say that he comes to Marion a lot, and I hope we can set that up.
Yeah, I mean, be interesting. I mean, what I understood. I thought he said, "Is that what his plan was going to try to get?" I mean, did he say yes? I couldn't really follow him. He was
in a hurry to go.
Yeah.
You heard a little bit of the Sherrod Brown interview coming in?
Just a little bit, yeah.
What do you think of his plans and his ideas?
His plans are confusing as well.
Well, his are basically just stay on Obama.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, what do you do
with
here?
A little tweaking.
Yeah. I mean, you know, so far I think everybody's... Isn't the Obamacare a worker for some people? I mean, I don't know. I mean, what is the numbers right now? Is people going to the doctors a lot more? Getting is the diseases and everything going down because people are getting treated now? I don't know.
Well, one of the things that definitely has happened is more people are covered, which means that people are not getting bills on top of bills for health care bills. And also, the state is not paying for them anymore because people aren't having to fill out the low-income paper and get things pushed aside. Now, maybe that should be dealt with. Maybe the low-income paper, because I know... See, here's what I don't understand. If you work a 40-hour-a-week job and you have insurance, why should you be allowed to use the paper?
Well, because some of the bills are thousands and thousands of dollars.
Right. So if everybody's using the paper, then we create a big, big chasm in the government.
Well, I mean, the healthcare systems, they have tons and tons of money. I mean, they could, you know, I'm not going to mention any of the private.
Well, the insurance companies have a lot of money, but the federal government just foots the bill. And they don't have a lot of money.
Well, I don't think the government pay. Whoever the company writes it off, I don't think the government writes it off.
To the government. When you write something off, it goes on your taxes, and you get a break on your taxes from the government, which means the government does not get that money. That's what writing something off is.
Oh, you mean...
Yeah, I said, if you have a 40-hour-a-week job, and you have insurance through your employer, and you get one of these gargantuous bills for surgery, and you use that paper that used to exist, you know, I can't afford to pay this, yes, it goes back to the major company, and they write it off on their taxes, but by writing it off on their taxes, that money that you didn't pay, then is federal income tax they don't pay at the end of the year that the federal government never sees, and the federal government is in a recession. It's not in a recession at this point.
Well, then that's because healthcare is so expensive. I mean, just because you have a 40-hour work job, you got to stop and think about all the stuff that you take off. I mean, you have car insurance, you have car. You know, some people have a car payment. You know, food. Just because you work a 40-hour work job and you get a $2,000 bill.
Right, but doesn't that all again come to some kind of responsibility? Because, see, I think we're chasing the cat's tail if we get rid of Obamacare then, because then we're saying that we've got to go back to that system. And that system doesn't work because there are people who have no 40-hour job. They're unemployed.
No, it doesn't. See, the 40-hour job, to me, it doesn't matter what. I don't care if you work 60 hours. It's nothing to do with the hours. It's the plan. It doesn't matter if it's Obamacare or a marketplace or whatever we had 10 years ago. Regardless, you're still going to get those bills.
Right, but here's why
unless you're on Obamacare or low income, you won't even see no bill.
Well, that's not true either. The Obamacare is based upon income, yes, but
But they're writing it off 100%.
No, they're not. Because what
chances are they will. Because on the back of that form that you get from certain companies, if you make underneath a certain amount,
that's Medicaid. That's not
Obamacare. No, it's not. That is.
Yes.
No, it's not, Scott. I do it all the time.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
Yes,
it's not is. Medicaid. It is. What we're going to use. I'm not going to use the company, but the major company here that you get a bill from. Mm-hmm. There's a form on the back of there. Tells you if you make less than certain amount of money, that is not Medicaid.
That's Medicaid.
No.
Obamacare is an insurance.
Does not say Medicaid.
Let me explain something to you. Obamacare is an insurance plan.
I understand.
That you have to go and sign up for, even if you are not sick at all. So if you had Obamacare, when you went to the hospital to fill out your papers, there would not be a paper. When you would go in to register, they'd say, who's your insurance? You'd say, here's my insurance
card. But you can ask for the form.
The form is the Medicaid form.
No, it's not Medicaid.
Yes, it is. You would not have the form if you have the insurance.
It's not Medicaid.
What do you think? Who do you think's paying that?
Huh?
Who do you think's paying that?
Who
do you think?
They're writing it off.
Writing it off to the federal government.
But it's not Medicaid, though.
That is Medicaid.
I don't know about that one.
Well, I'm just telling you that's what the system is. Medicaid is a supplement to Medicaid.
On that piece of paper that I got when I had my surgery, it didn't have nowhere on the back of that form says Medicaid.
Well, it doesn't say that because they're basing it on your income, but that is what Medicaid is based upon.
Then why don't everybody be on Medicaid?
Well, everybody would have to quit their job and be low income.
I don't know. Medicaid's mostly if you're on welfare or...
No, that's a misnomer because there are many senior citizens who are on Medicaid because Medicare only pays for the doctor visit, doesn't pay for the prescriptions. So they have to go on Medicaid to pay for the prescriptions. See, that's a complete misnomer. It's not true.
It's a low income. If you're on welfare, you're a citizen. You're still going to get the Medicaid.
You don't have to be on welfare to get Medicaid.
No, but you can.
You can. Anybody can.
Right.
As long as they're under a certain income, but you don't have to be.
Well, that's why when a senior citizen does have, what's the major company, and you have to get a second insurance. To cover whatever it's not going to cover.
What Medicare is not going to cover.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What is it called? I can't remember.
Medicaid.
No, I mean, what's that major insurance? And then you have to get another one like AARP or...
Well, you can go in and get those, but one, a lot of things a lot of people do who are low income and older and their bills exceed what they're making, they go to Medicaid to get their insurance paid for. So you don't have to be on welfare. And I mean, people on welfare probably are on Medicaid, but that is not, you do not have to be anywhere near.
So if you're
Medicare.
making 60 or you're making $50,000 a year. And I believe, I can't remember the gap on a single person, but I think it's like up in the 40s or something. And they're considered, that's considered Medicaid whenever they get wrote, they write off some of the bill.
If you make 40,000? Yeah, because what they're saying is, that's why you have to offset. I'll tell you why.
Why don't they say that's Medicaid then? That's paying for it.
Because I guess they assume people are aware that if you are saying, I can't pay based on income, that's what you're saying. That's why they make you show proof of income, write your income on there. How do you think people get on welfare in those programs? They say, here's my income, it's too low, I need help. That's what you're saying. My income is this, I can't pay this bill, I need help.
I don't see why Medicaid don't just pay all the bills then.
Because Medicaid is out of the federal government and you'd be bankrupt pretty quick.
I don't know. I just think it's, you know, some of these bills, I mean, they rack them up anyway. I mean, let's think about it. I mean, I was in the hospital for 2 days, and my bill was like $59,000. I mean, I think that's just law.
But is that the hospital's fault, or is that the insurance company's fault?
I don't know. I don't know who makes. I don't know who makes the bill up, but I don't know how.
Well, the hospital can charge whatever they want. Does the insurance company pay that? Is that what your plan covers? Are they willing to do?
That's what I'm saying. I mean, there's a lot of price gouging everywhere you go, like gas, regular bills.
I mean, it's just like it's like your car insurance. If you want to pay a lower rate for car insurance, you get liability. Now, that's only going to protect the other person's car. But if you do want to protect your car, you can go get full coverage. If you have an issue with back payments, you can get gap insurance. It's just, what do you want to pay every month? And the same thing with health insurance. You can rack those bills
up. But you got to have full coverage if you have a loan on your car.
Right. And I would think that if you had diabetes, if you had cancer, if you had a catastrophic disease, you wouldn't want to get the small plan. You'd want a bigger plan because you're seeing the doctor more often.
Well, I see what your point is, but I guess what my question is just, you know, how in the world, you know, we get these god awful bills like you were saying, 40-hour job, and you don't think anybody should use that?
But I say why.
Go ahead.
I never got to say why.
Yeah.
The reason is because if you have a 40-hour job and you have insurance, you had the option at some point to buy the higher plan. You had the option at some
point. Yeah, it doesn't matter if you have the higher plan. And I had both plans before. It doesn't matter if you had the higher plan. Only thing the higher plan is you have a little bit of lower deductible.
Then why would anybody enroll in that insurance plan at all?
That's what I'm saying. That's why I dropped down to the regular one, because the higher plan that my job offers and the other one, there ain't really much difference.
So then why do they even offer the higher one?
Tell me that.
And nobody can tell you that.
No.
Well, that's a big
deal. All it is, the deductible is a little bit lower.
Well, why didn't you go out and buy supplemental insurance that would help?
Because I can't afford it.
There you go. How's that any different than somebody?
I guess I'll just ask for Medicaid now, and I didn't know it was Medicaid.
How's that any different than somebody who?
I'll just say I want to be on Medicaid.
If you have filled out that form, that's what that is. So you've been there. But the point is that I think that's what's funny is because sometimes people don't get the name. But where did you think that money was coming from? When you say, I can't pay because of my income and the bill's too high.
I thought the company just writes it off as a...
But what's a write-off?
Huh?
Well, what is a write-off?
It's a deduction at the end of the year, but I don't think... Why would Medicaid be paying it?
Because Medicaid is set up with the hospitals to pay the bill. It's the federal government. It's a tax credit.
I didn't know that. I guess let me put
it to you this way. Let's say if you're a senior citizen and you go out and get Medicaid because you're older and you're scared of illness, and then that year nothing bad happens to you and you don't need it. You think they're going to refund the money?
What do you mean?
You think they're going to refund the tax credit that you went and signed up for Medicaid at the beginning of the year? And
oh,
even
of course
nothing
not.
Bad,
okay, no, that money just goes whatever.
There you go.
Yeah. But I have got refunds before.
But see, that's one of the big problems is that people are not really understanding what this is. Do people realize?
Well, that's because the health system, to my opinion, the healthcare system is so jacked up and highway robbery.
Well, let me ask you this.
Nobody knows what the left and the right hand's doing.
If you go in for drug rehab, who do you think pays for that?
The government.
Yeah, but who? What program?
The Sober Joe's program.
No, no. They they provide the facility.
Yeah.
Who pays the bill?
But I guess Medicaid would be, I guess. Since
but it doesn't say that. It doesn't say that.
Well, see, I take that back. I was not aware of that.
You got furious there. No. It is.
Well, that's because it doesn't say anywhere on that form.
Well,
they would tell you on that form.
Well, the only
when you call the financial aid company of the organization, you think they would say, okay, we're going to have Medicaid help you out on this?
They used a good word there, financial aid. Now, did you think what financial aid did you think that was? I mean, you're not enrolling in college here. Did you think somebody was giving you a grant?
So when you go down here in downtown Marion, you go to the legal aid. That's considered Medicaid too when they help you out on certain projects.
Legal aid is no, because not medical. Legal aid is funded by the state.
Oh, so the state,
because that's why there's a legal aid office.
So the state gives them money.
Yeah.
So that's a little different.
Anytime you get helped out with medical bills,
it's Medicaid,
and you don't pay, and it's not from your insurance company, it's Medicaid.
So where does Medicaid get all their money?
From the government. That's one of the big problems here. That's why Governor Kasich, who you don't like, wanted to extend Medicaid for people. So basically, you don't like the guy who's trying to help you out.
I knew that was coming.
Was that not true?
Oh, well, no, I don't like him on certain things, on certain levels. It's not because, okay, fine, I like him in that particular juncture, but all the other junctures that he's done, forget about it. No, what I'm saying is, okay, so fine, our Social Security, the people keep saying it's a scare, you know, we might not have it in 10 years or 11 years. So why is Medicaid staying in here, but our Social Security
See, that's a lie, too, and I don't – somebody said that other this week. Social Security is not going away. Do you really think – okay, let me put it to you this way. Okay, when do you think Social Security is going away?
Oh, I don't know. I just heard it.
Okay.
That's why I'm asking you.
Let's say, all these people say, well, Social Security is not going to be there when I get there. Okay? That's the argument, right?
Well, I mean, right. But I did get a piece of paper in the mail like everybody else does, like the how much you're going to make if you retire.
You always get that, yes.
And mine's really low, and yet I've been working since I was 15 or 15 and a half, maybe.
But you can't collect till you're 65. So you got a ways to go.
Right, right. But I'm saying, I looked at the... The number is really low.
It's based on that.
And when you get Social Security, does it take you the last 2 years of your when you worked or something? Or how does that work?
It's an accumulation.
I just wonder how they know how much you're going to make.
But the point here is that quite simply, Social Security is not going to go away for this simple reason. Okay, let's say that the people retiring now, who's paying their Social Security? Us, the people who are paying into Social Security now.
Well, a lot of the retirement people are paying Social Security because they're double dipping.
Well, they can do that.
I'm not saying it's legal, but I'm saying they are paying their own too.
When you get to Social Security age, do you not think that there are going to be people alive and working?
I think, right. You're right, but people are living longer. But I guess what my problem is too many people are dipping in their fingers in it. Using our Social Security money.
Well, if they paid in, they have just the option as anybody else does.
Okay, we'll say the people that get Social Security disability. Does that take away from our regular Social Security, or is that something different?
They just start collecting it earlier, but that also is depending. They can get supplements, which is Medicaid, essentially.
We'll say they didn't work enough, so they wouldn't qualify for Social Security disability, or is that different?
No, no. You always qualify. Matter of fact,
because when my mom died, my dad told me that I never, you know how you get your parents Social Security if you're a certain age? They said that she didn't pay in enough, what he told me. And so I didn't get it.
If she paid in anything, there would have been something.
Oh, okay. I don't know. So I don't know. That's
Did she ever have a job?
I don't know. I was three. I never asked that question. I mean, I was 3 years old when she died.
If she had zero job, then there probably wasn't anything. But
she was 29, so I doubt it. Oh yeah, she probably did work a little bit, but I mean, not very long.
If you work any time, it's going to go into the federal.
Probably not enough numbers to doing any. Probably have to work so many.
Well, a lot of that, what they give you when somebody dies, is not so much based on the person's Social Security. It's based upon a fact that your parent has died, and we're trying to help out the family because it's highly unexpected.
Yeah.
Because there are kids. It goes to the kid. It doesn't go to the parent. The parent has to oversee it because the kid's not 18, but it doesn't go to the parent. It's not written for the parent. It's written to help raise the kid.
Yeah.
And if people don't apply, they don't get.
So is there like a date you can't fly for it now?
I think 30 years is probably the deadline. I don't think you can go back that far. I think it doesn't last very long. I think it only lasts a year and a half, something like that.
Yeah.
After somebody passes away. But and also a certain age. If you're over 18, you would not be able to collect anything like that. It's only for people under 18.
Oh, really?
Yep.
I didn't know what the rules
were. If your parents die and you're over 18, you don't get to collect.
Huh. So anytime you... Oh, that's just like when you're... what do they call that? When your parents get a divorce and... What they call... What's the word I'm trying to think of?
Alimony?
When the child support.
Child support, yeah. So you can't collect that over 18 because they figure you're an adult and you're on your own.
Yeah.
Telephone lines are open. You have any questions about anything like this or healthcare? We talked with Sherrod Brown this morning and we talked with Jim Jordan. And the Jim Jordan interview, once again, another very interesting conversation, as they always are. He's always being called away for a vote when he's on the phone with me.
Yeah, he's always in a hurry.
740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give us a call if you have any comment on anything that's been said today. The problem is that welfare is a dirty word. That's why it used to be called, they used to call it relief. Used to be called relief. Welfare became a dirty word, and nobody wants to be associated with it. But if you go in most people's lives, at some point or another, they have received some kind of welfare. And the other thing is that senior citizens will say they don't like socialism, but Social Security and Medicare are socialists. They're socialistic programs. So it's a very interesting... Because they don't have the name, I think people don't understand what the programs are. Now, does that make you a socialistic society? No, but they are socialistic programs.
Well, we might as well just have the same insurance that the Canada has.
Well, they have nationwide.
Socialized, right?
Well, it's called socialized medicine, but it's essentially put out by the government. It's single payer, which they tried to get that here, and that didn't float.
Well, I think it's because if you need an organ, you might wait for surgery right away.
That's what they said was going to happen here if Obamacare came in. Have you seen that?
I don't know. I'm not on Obamacare, so I don't. Are you on Obamacare?
No.
Oh. So I don't know. I think whoever's on Obamacare will probably know it. I don't know.
Now, at one point, I looked into it, but they're not going to give somebody an organ because they're on Obamacare and somebody's not. So I don't think that would really matter.
Yeah. See, I thought about going on Obamacare because then I'd say, well, is it cheaper, Obamacare, than the regular private insurance? I don't know. But I can't – there's so many plans out there that Obamacare has.
You just call and ask.
I guess you could just sit on the phone all day long and call on each one of them and say, which one's cheaper? But I don't understand how they – what they do, just run your Social Security number? I mean, how they know
– income. They check your income, and just like any other insurance plan would. If you got fired tomorrow from your job and your insurance plan went away, you would be able to call around all the insurance companies and see what the prices were, and there you go. And it's not called Obamacare if people are looking it up. It's called the Affordable Care Act.
Yeah. It's just that Obama made it up.
Well, they used his name on it because they wanted to use it to campaign against him, so there you go.
Yeah.
That's how that boat rolls down the hill. But telephone lines are open, 740-383-9944, a special edition of the Now program live here on a Friday morning before the Exchange Club at 12:15. I'm sure this will be a topic there. And then the
Charlie Evers.
And then the Faye Bank Charlie Evers show will wind up the day today from 1:10 to 3 p.m., and he'll have all kinds of good things to give away. I think it's McDonald's gift cards today and some other stuff over there, so that'll be fun.
We have a new listener last night. I stopped in the Speedway there on 309, and big fan of Charlie Evers too, so he knows Charlie Evers.
Oh, good.
As well. So
good.
He's gonna start listening to us. He said he never liked talk radio, but he's gonna give us a try.
And oh, no, not a fan of anybody else.
He didn't know that we existed until I started talking to him.
Oh, he
last
started
night.
Talking. So he hasn't listened yet.
No, he said he's gonna start listening today.
Oh, okay. I thought he was a listener.
No. He said he was always he always liked music and Pandora and all that, but he said he's going to give us a try.
Well, give us a try.
Yeah.
You'll get talk like this.
Yeah.
And you can always call in 740-383-9944. We've got another hour coming up. The first hour will be running out here in about 45 seconds. But we'll come back, take more phone calls, talk more about this. Maybe we'll hear back from Representative Jordan.
Anything about Donald Trump? Any tweets?
I don't.
Any Twitter this morning?
We can look in the bag and see what's in there, but I certainly think that healthcare is the number one issue going on right now. But we'll talk about that more coming up in the next hour. Maybe Representative Jordan will come back in, but I don't know.
He's in a hurry.
He is. Well, he was in a hurry. He had to go vote.
Before we go, do we have time for a second? Well, that lady we had in here, she was a representative of Ohio. What was her name?
Dorothy Polenda.
Yeah. What about her? Are we going to have her back on again?
I did. I asked her to come back on.
And she said no?
No, she said she would.
Oh, she did?
Just had to make some time.
She was a very nice lady.
I thought so.
Yeah.
She was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
We're taking a break. We're coming back in 10 minutes. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to WWGH Radio, LP, Marion, Ohio, The Talking Place, 107.1 FM. Charlie Evers.
You know, you could come in handy.